any contact with anybody, you know. And so I'm trying this morning not to spread it. I'm not shaking hands. It's not because I don't love you or care or am happy you're here, but I'm trying to limit my exposure to you. I'm not exactly positive whether my voice will hold up all the way through the message this morning, but I'm feeling pretty confident that it will. We'll see. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask His blessing on His word. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 down through 14. Father in heaven, we thank You that we can come to Your house this morning, open Your holy word, and know that it is You that speaks to our hearts and lives. We thank You for all the folks who have ministered through the many years, 45 years in Sunday school and finance, maintenance, all the different areas in the church, providing meals for one another and a smile and a handshake and a hug. Lord, we thank You for our church family through all these many years. And as we look into these verses, I pray that You would help us to see ourselves as You have spoken and ministered to us, just as You ministered to the nation of Israel those many years ago. We look to hear from You within our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to read to you verses 10 down through 14. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." As we look at this particular text, what we find is God speaking to the nation of Israel after a traumatic and devastating time. Thank you very much, Nance. The nation of Israel has been conquered, overtaken by Babylon. The prophet Jeremiah is writing to those who have been taken into captivity. And he's telling them, God has a message for you. And that, yes, you're going to be in captivity for 7 years. He tells them in previous verses, he says, I want you to go and I want you to build houses. I want you to have children and to marry and to give your children in marriage. And over these next 70 years, I want you to prosper because I am going to bring you back. I am going to bless you. And as we look in this text, we're reminded that life is full of all different kinds of cycles, isn't it? As people came and gave their testimonies today about Victory Baptist Church in their lives, you heard people talk about coming here and helping to raise their children, or coming and the church being there for them through illness. And of course, we know that as the church works, it's the arm of God. In fact, the Lord made it very clear that as He called us together, He added us one to another, that it would be He in us and through us that He would minister. And there's all different cycles in our lives that we walk with God through. And that's what we find in this text. God is letting the nation of Israel know that He will turn away their captivity. And that is the title of my message this morning. The Lord has turned away our captivity. You and I, many of us, we've lived our entire lives in New England. I grew up in Massachusetts on an old dairy farm. I lived in a place where I never heard the gospel. I didn't know anybody who went to church other than maybe once in a while on Sunday morning, Easter, Christmas, that kind of thing. wasn't until I was older that I encountered somebody who actually talked to me about a relationship with Jesus Christ. I was a captive to my sin, to my upbringing, to my circumstances. I didn't know anything outside that circle. But until God came into my life and he set me free, just as he has set you free, it was not until then that I understood that there is a God who wants to be involved in my life, and he wants to be involved in your life, and he wants to set us free from our sins that we might have eternal life with him. That is what he talks to the nation of Israel about in these verses. When we look at verse 10 and 11 in our text, we find that he talks about the reality that he has visited us. Listen to what he says in verse 10. He says, "For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end." And that is God's work in our lives today, in our lives over the last 45 years as a church family. God has visited us. He has come to perform his good word, as he said to the nation of Israel. And we know that good word is the good news. And the good news is the gospel. God has brought the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to you and I in our lives, in our community, that we might have hope in him. He tells us in this text as he talks to the nation of Israel, he says, "I will return you unto myself." You know, we are of the generation, we're of the lineage of Adam and Eve. A number of years ago, the scientists who crunched the DNA numbers, they were quite amazed to come up with the conclusion that all human beings that they had checked, all the DNA line, all goes back to one mom. And they were amazed by that. I'm not at all amazed by that, because the Bible tells me that our entire DNA links back to one mom, Eve. So they discovered what's always been known by those who know and love God. I'm not surprised by that. In fact, every discovery, that's why it's called a discovery, is because it's always been there. We just needed to find it out. God put it there in the beginning. So as we look at this text, we understand that God says, "I'm going to return you to myself." You see, he walked with our mom and our dad in the garden. And because of their sin, they were driven out. But because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, he wants to return us to him that we might walk in fellowship with him. So he tells them, he says, "Listen, I have visited you. I come to perform the good news. I come to return you to myself." And in verses 10 and 11, he tells us, he says, "I have good thoughts for you. I have thoughts of peace for you." You know, the scriptures teach us that God offers to us peace. In fact, turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of John in your New Testament. John chapter 14, you find the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And here he talks to you and I about peace. John 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Listen, God offers to you and I peace. So when we come back in Jeremiah chapter 29 and we look down in these verses and God says to us that he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace." That those thoughts that go all the way back to the prophet Jeremiah, and transcend biblical history. And they come to our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he says, I have peace for you. You and I, as we celebrate 45 years of ministry here in Vergennes, as we celebrate a church reaching out to neighbors and friends, we understand that what they're bringing is simply the peace of God as he desires all of us to have it. But when we go a little bit farther in the text in Jeremiah, we find that not only does God talk about the fact that he visits us, but he also has expectations of us. It's important to understand there are expectations. I was reading an article not too long ago about the different generations that we as a country have gone through and our prosperity and our building and maybe even our decline. And they said one of the real pitfalls that we have today is that people have lowered expectations. They really no longer expect quite so much from others. They no longer expect so much from their employees, from their students. But you know, God does expect from us. He has a level of expectation. And you and I, as the children of God, we should step up to the challenge. When we come down to verses 12 and 13, we find his expectations for us. He's reached out to us. He's visited us. Now what is he expecting of us? Look at verses 12 and 13 of Jeremiah 29. He says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. God expects you and I to call upon him. And I want that to sink into you, because pastoring for many years, I have encountered many people who have the attitude that, you know, God is too busy, or why go to God when they can take care of it themselves? But you need to understand that God wants to hear from you. He expects to hear from you. You are his child. He is your God. And he wants you to call out to him. Even in salvation itself, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He wants you and I to call out to him. But it's interesting, when you come down to the second expectation, you find that it's almost akin to the same. He says, call out to me and pray to me. And I want you to understand there's a difference. Calling out to God and just praying to God. Just talking to God. Sharing your heart with God. That's why the scriptures teach us to pray without ceasing. That's why the scriptures teach us to come boldly unto the throne of grace. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to call out to him, but he also wants us to humbly just pray to him. He desires to have a relationship with us. Adam and Eve, the Bible teaches us, they walked in the garden with him. Now, while the scientists may be amazed that through DNA they figured out that Eve is the mother of all the descendants on the earth, it's of no surprise to me that God desires to walk with and visit with and talk with and have a relationship with all those descendants. Because if you'll remember back to the book of Genesis, where did the very breath of life come from? God breathed into the form that he had made from the dust of the earth, and he breathed into that form the very breath of life. God wants to hear from you. He wants you to call out to him. He wants you to talk to him, to pray with him. He wants you to be involved with him in a personal and intimate way. But I want you to notice, he not only talks about us calling out to him, praying to him, But look with me, if you would, at verse 13. He says, and ye shall seek me. That's an important part of our lives, to seek God. Now, the Apostle Paul talks about that in the book of Acts. He says, you don't have to look far in Acts chapter 17. He says, for we live and move in the midst of God, but we need to seek to know him. And when you look in the text, it says, you shall find me. But you must seek. You must look. We live in a generation and a world where they're looking to everything else. It's such an irony to me that we live in a society that is so perplexed, so confused, so void of hope. Highest drug problem in the nation. We have the answer to that. It's just people don't want to know the answer. God says, seek me. Call out to me. Talk with me. And yet we live in a place and a time where people are working to get away from that. It's kind of like children who rebel against their parents. Haven't you seen that in your lifetime? I've certainly seen it. Boys and girls who, even though it's the best for them, yet still something rises up in them to rebel and to push away. Now maybe, hopefully, prayerfully, there comes a time they return, like God is talking to you and I about here. But the reality is there's within us this rebellion, this sin nature. We see it all around us. We've seen it in us. But God wants to connect with us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. 45 years of ministry here in Vergennes, Victory Baptist Church that started out as Vergennes Baptist Church, brings that simple message. The simple message that God cares, that Jesus died on the cross, and God wants to reach out and connect with us, and he wants to hear from us, and he wants us to seek him that we might know him. It's interesting when we look at this particular verse. Look with me again at verse 13. He says, then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Listen, God wants you and I to reach out so that he can respond to us. And that brings us to our third point. Not only has God visited us, not only does God have expectations of us, but God has made some promises to us. When I was a boy growing up, I've told you many times, I did not grow up in a Christian family. Didn't grow up in a Christian environment. So it's a whole different mentality when you grow up in an environment that is the antithesis of Christian. And as a very young child, I learned a lesson. I learned that all promises made are accepted with a certain element of skepticism. I never got my high hopes up on promises. But when I became a Christian, it changed my perspective. Because listening to the preaching of the Bible and the teaching of the Word of God, I learned that my God could not lie. That's what Titus tells us. God cannot lie. It's against his nature. He cannot do it. It's impossible for him. It's as impossible for him to lie as it would be for me to leap off of this and to go into flight. It's not going to happen. And it's not because of my size. It's because I'm not designed for that. God cannot lie because he's not designed that way. It's not his nature. It's not who he is. So when he makes a promise to you and I, we can absolutely stamp it in our heart and know it's going to be. So I want you to see with me the third point. Contained within those verses 12 down through 14, we find promises. Verse 12, again, he said to us, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Now, what that means is he's going to go ahead and hear. He's going to turn his ear, and that's how the scriptures refer to it. God turns his ear towards us. He hearkens to us. When I was a boy growing up, my grandfather owned land on the Ware River, and he would rent boats to people. And so us boys, myself and my cousin and my uncle who was younger than me, we would go down and we would hike all down through my grandfather's land down to where he had the boats, and we'd go and we'd row the Ware River. When it came lunchtime, my granddad owned a machine shop attached to his house, and he would click on it an air whistle. He'd go stand on his porch and he would pull the trigger for that, and it would blow the most loud, piercing whistle. And us boys, no matter where we were on his property, when we heard that whistle blow, we responded just like my cows when I pull up at the shed. Our heads popped up. We looked around. We made sure we're hearing Granddad's whistle because it is lunchtime. And we would row and we would hustle and we would come. We would hearken to that whistle no matter where we were on his property. And we hustled. God hearkens to us. That's his promise to us. And I want you to get that in your heart. That when you lift your voice up to God, God is not ignoring you. He promises to hearken unto you because he cares. But look at the second promise as we come down to verses 13 and 14. He says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your..." Can anybody tell me what that next word is?
Heart.
"For with all your heart..." Does that remind you of a verse in the New Testament? It tells us, "For with the heart man believeth." For with the heart man believeth. And so here he's telling us, he's saying, listen, if you'll search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations. Listen, God is telling you and I that he will find us no matter where we are if we will just call out to him with all our heart. You know, Jesus tells us in the book of Revelation that truly he stands at our heart's door and knocks. And I know I reference it often because it's so personal, it's so real. And if you've ever sat and listened to the gospel and then you come to that invitation time, you can hear God speak to your heart. You can hear him knock. Oh, it's not a hearing here, it's a hearing here. He says, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and let me in, I will come in unto him." And here God is saying, he's saying, listen, if you will seek me and you'll reach out to me and you'll mean it with your heart, he says, "I'll find you. Doesn't matter where you are, I'll find you." You see, we don't get lost from God. He knows no matter what log we're behind, no matter what bush we're behind, no matter what dark alley we've fallen into, no matter what circumstance life has brought us to, God can find us no matter where we are. But he says, "Come to me with a sincere heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, oh, you need to do that today. You need to come to Him with a sincere heart, believing in Him and calling upon Him to save your soul. But I want you to see, as we go a little farther down into this text, you look at verse 14. He says, I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations. Such an amazing promise. God makes it clear that if we come to Him with that sincere heart, He will find us, and He will gather us, and He will set us free. And He will gather us from the four corners of the world, from every nation and every tongue. In fact, I want you to go with me, if you would, to the book of Revelation, chapter 7. Revelation, chapter 7, we get a glimpse into heaven itself. And there we find the very fulfillment of this promise. Look with me at Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 down through 12. And I want to ask you if you will be a part of this. Because as God opens the curtains of heaven, and as John the Beloved looks through the portals, and he sees, listen to what he sees. He says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And I cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell upon the throne on their faces and worshiped God. As John looked up into heaven itself, he said, I see people from everywhere, every kindred, every tongue, every nation, every country. He says, I see people of everywhere gathered together because they are people who called upon the Lord with the sincerity of their heart. And God found them no matter where they were. And He set them free from their sin. Over the last 45 years, that has been the mission of Victory Baptist Church. Its mission is to allow God to do His work in individuals' lives. We're not a big city. There's not hundreds of thousands of people around us. But every neighbor, every friend, every family member, every coworker, every child or senior saint needs to know God is there for them. God is there for them. And He wants to set them free. This morning, as you've come to Victory Baptist Church, maybe this is your first time with us, and maybe it's one of many, but maybe you've not yet done what God is talking about in this text. Maybe you've not yet called out to Him in prayer and said, God, I believe with all my heart. I'm sincere in my faith, and I call upon You to be my Savior. Save my soul and set me free. If you haven't done that, then in the invitation time this morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me that today would be the day that God sets you free. You don't have to have come for a long time. All you have to do is hear the whistle blow and come to the Lord. Let's bow our heads. As our